I'd like you to return again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to refrain from reminiscing and hopefully don't ramble. I could from way back. Sister Nita and I, we were reminiscing last night. And we never did decide exactly when we met, but we did agree we were both younger then. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, would you? I said 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but I'd like to start in chapter 10, verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Skip to verse 12. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Thank you. You may be seated. The warning here, we briefed it last night. I don't intend to go into it this morning except to apply some scriptures and what I said. Found ourselves sobering up. And having it revealed to us, we're praying for God to stop things that he will not stop, but will progressively get worse. There is another Jesus. There is another gospel. And the presenters of it have a lot of charisma, but it's another spirit. Some of it sounds good, but it's not good and sound if you know the Bible. Now, in my introduction, I'm going to brief this. Just refer to these scriptures. The great whore and her harlot daughters in the book of the Revelation. It's all the way through the New Testament in Matthew. It's insincere seekers, but following the religious leaders. But this great whore in Revelation chapter 17 has a golden cup. It looks good. Holding up that golden cup, but when you get where you can look inside, compared to the scriptures, is filth and vileness and this unsound doctrine and this impure teaching and this Christ that is not the Christ of the Bible. Listen to this. They will have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Suppose in gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Waxing worse and worse, wicked men waxing or becoming worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They lie in wait to deceive. Their word doth eat as a canker. And in our South Arkansas and East Texas vernacular, it'll be gangrene. It's got to be cut off. It just keeps eating on you. So don't listen to it. Refuse it. One place, brother, Paul said, their mouths must be stopped. Now, we can't go over and call them to the door and pop them in the lip and say, now, shut your mouth about that damnable heresy. We can't do that. But we can take the scriptures and present the Christ of the Bible and we can stop their influence in the people that'll hear us. So we keep doing that. I'm going to say one more thing about that and go on with the message. What I just read and quoted to you about these people, deceivers, that is not the secular world, and it's not the commerce. It's church. It's church life and church leaders that portray this and have this lifestyle. Well, who is this Lord? Pictured as a lamb offered, an innocent lamb slain by God and by Abel. Now, a friend of mine called my hand to that, and he said, it don't say a lamb. It says an animal. But I read the rest of the Bible. I believe it to be a lamb, an innocent lamb. In Genesis 22, the Lord provides Himself a sacrifice. In Moses writing, all the law and all the prophets, an innocent lamb slain. Luke 24, Christ expounds unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Actually, it's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Too many people think the devil came along in the Garden of Eden and fouled up God's plan A, and he had to go to plan B. He's still operating on plan A. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. One of my grandsons asked me that jawbreaker question, Paul, why did God let the devil get in that serpent and get in the Garden of Eden? Good question, right? I said, now, I almost called his name, and I don't really want it out in the air. I hope it's conviction. I said to him, grandson, that's not going to work for you. What, Papa? I said, Adam already tried that. What? Blaming God. Now, we say the woman. But Adam said, the woman thou gavest to be unto me. So, quit using God and His sovereign working as your excuse for your sin. This lifestyle that Pastor just presented to us, that's the Scriptures. The Gospel, God's anointed Messiah, virgin-born, sinless life, died as a sacrifice for our sins. On Christ was laid the iniquity of us all. Christ's righteousness is imputed unto us. He came back alive, came forth from the tomb, showed Himself to many people, over 500 at one time, ascended back into heaven, now on God's right hand, interceding for His people, the called out ones, the elect that God gave unto His Son. And this Christ is the soon coming King. Thank God for that. That's the Christ. Not this other Jesus, not this other Christ, but the Christ of the Bible. Now, Paul's concern was, as the serpent beguiled Eve, it's there in verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. This is applied to the false teachers then and now. They're able, and by their subtlety, and accommodating themselves to the evil conduct of those to whom they minister to, they're able to corrupt the minds of the people from the simplicity in the gospel of Christ. Let me say to you, if you're looking for a preacher to excuse your sin, keep looking, you'll find one. But it won't excuse you. He'll give an account for his sin, you'll give an account for yours. Or to follow the metaphor in this verse, look at it. Verse 2. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Following that, these and the devil and their followers, and he has evangelists that corrupt the pure mind and turn the people from the simplicity that's in the gospel of Christ. Seduce the chaste virgin from her duty, her affection, and her commitment to her true bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. Here he refers to the serpent that had seduced the mind of Eve from her affections and allegiance to Adam, her true husband, and certainly turned her mind from God, her Creator and Lord. so your mind should be corrupted. This is very serious. Perverted. Corrupted. You know what corruption is. The mind is corrupted when the affections are turned from Jesus Christ and when the soul is filled with unholy plans and purposes and desires. Our minds matter. And these people will corrupt your mind. Their word eats like a canker. It'll just keep eating on you and eating on you. Turn from the simplicity that's in Christ. And I intend this to be the message this morning, a carryover and a comeback to, actually just a little practical application to the message from last night. Let me say this to you in all fairness. Ours is not the first generation, nor the only generation, and if there be another with these, not X generation, but the now generation, the young Lee ladies and I were talking about it, now it's our turn. Now what will you do? These people will turn our minds from the Lord Jesus Christ and actually seduce us and turn us from the simplicity that's in Christ. We are not the first ones to face this sobering reality and this serious problem. Turn from the simple and single-hearted devotion to Christ, from personal and unmixed relationship to Him. The fear was that their affections would be fixed on other things and that the singleness and unity of their devotion to Him would be corrupted. To this same church, Paul writes a little bit later, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith or not, know ye your own selves, except you be reprobate. And that's that mind turn. That's the only time that word's in the Bible. It's a very serious matter. And the only person that's going to be delivered from it is the person that faces the seriousness of it. If it doesn't mean anything to you, probably your mind's already drifting away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's concern for the church at Galatia was that Christ be formed in them. And his prayer in Ephesians was that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Deacon, I thought Christ was already there in the believer. He is. But his prayer was that Christ may dwell in your hearts. I say that down home, whether it's South East Arkansas or East Texas, at home, I'm comfortable with him being there. And he's comfortable being there, not quenched nor grieved. You understand? That Christ may dwell. Be comfortable. You're comfortable with it. That's what you want. Him dwelling in your heart. Now, the affections of our mind and heart can be turned from the unmixed devotion to Jesus Christ. We can be led to adopt the seductive ways of the world that produce loose living among these at Corinth. Look at page or two at Chapter 12. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, if you're just tuning in, verse 19. Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. They're not going to be like he wanted them to be. And when he gets there, he's not going to be like they wanted him to be. Lest, now people, this reads like the Good Morning Church News. Debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Verse 21, and lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of their uncleanness, and fornication, and lasciviousness which they've committed. Just a reckless disregard for the Word of God. And these things start popping up. This is in the church. Do you know that still happens in church? I could tell you some sad stories, and some of them got a funny ending, and some of them do not, of these very things causing churches to split. Just this little list here. Very, very seldom in a church split is the Scripture the reason. Occasionally, but that's the exception. Most of the time, it's these things come up in the lives of some. And then my wife's cousin took a beating in the front of the church. He just yielded to the guy. He was at the time a pole climber, and that guy's got upper body strength and balance, believe me. And he yielded to him, and the guy whipped him. Established him as the pastor there, and immorality was the problem. An adult married man had seduced a young teenage girl, violated her. And when it was addressed, anger came up, and the church busted up. Now, enough of that. We are still talking about the simplicity that's in Christ. What is it? From His pure doctrine. Doctrine's important, Brother Russell. Well, usually when a fellow says, "Oh, you don't care much about that doctrine," what he's really saying is, "I don't want Bible doctrine." Because doctrine is what we teach. That is our doctrine, what we teach. This simple doctrine. And I just read them last night, some scriptures that directed our minds to Christ. And I say again, Brother Deacon, all of our doctrine, all of our policy, all of our church life should turn men's minds from men to Christ. But alas, that's not so in this list of people that we just read by way of introduction. The mixture of philosophy by the opinions of the world, there was a danger that their minds should be turned away from their hold on the simple truth which Christ had taught. Keep your finger right there. I'm coming back. Colossians chapter 2. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, there are four groups of people presented. And all four of them will turn our minds from Christ. First of all, they'll spoil you, and they'll beguile you, and they'll pass a judgment on you, and on down. All four of these types of people are represented in church life this morning, but I just want to deal with one. That's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, we'd say that's a high watermark for a church. Any group, any church. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all power, principality. Now these people calling out to you, Anna, if you'll just go link up with them, you'll be as spiritual as they are. And that'll complete you. No, we are complete in Jesus Christ. Mature. Grow into that maturity. Now, Mark chapter 7. I'm coming back to 2 Corinthians 11. Mark chapter 7. This chapter, this portion of it, deals with what Christ Himself calls false worship. Remember the simplicity that's in Christ, and I'm fixing to get into worship. But I wanted to put this out before us as Christ exposes the progression into vain worship. Are you there? Mark chapter 7, verse 6. And He, Christ, answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Look at the progression. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. This is religious ceremony and activity here in their day, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. So they laid aside the Word of God. This is leading indicators, brother and sister and sinner friend, of vain worship. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, or that is a gift, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Now, when I first started preaching, it was a sprang up a group. They come and they go and they come and they go and promise this and going to keep this and so forth and so on. But then, brother, it was the Jesus people. It was a spin off the dope crowd. You know about that now. Love, faith, dope. And they took the cross and turned it upside down and broke the arms down. Now that's a symbol of some sort of religious stuff. But it's the broken cross is what it is. I see people with a little necklace with that on it. Look at the origin of some of this stuff. But one thing I found out about them, and I'd buy them a hamburger and a Coke and try to win them to Jesus in the little old Greasy Spoon Cafe. The thing I found out about them, brother, they didn't have no dealings with anybody over 25 unless they're getting what they had to have. And if you was over 20 years, done went through the generation gap. And a leading indicator in most of those people was rebellion against their parents. That's not uncommon today. I won't go into that. That's just part of my experience in this. Now, what has happened? They worship in vain, the teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men, laying aside the commandment of God. Now they hold the tradition of men. They reject the commandments of God to keep their tradition, and they violate one of the basic rules, not just Christianity, but humanity. Not taking any interest in their poor parents. Verse 13, here it is. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. That's a blanket statement, people. It's religious things that people do. That Christ himself calls vain worship. Back to worship. We are commanded to worship. Worship. If we worship God, we worship the Father. Well, listen to this, what Christ said. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the scripture. Don't you know that a sovereign God can find those to worship him? Has he found you? Is it in your heart to come before him this morning to worship him in spirit, from your spirit, and in truth, according to the word of God? In our doctrine, if our doctrine don't fit the Bible, check it up. Check it out. Those people that object to, let me just give you a few words here. We mentioned it last night. Foreknowledge. Election, predestination, regeneration, the new birth, all of these initial works that God begins in people, then the results and fruit starts to show. All of these things can be addressed in one question. And I've asked it many, many times to objectors, brother. How dead is dead? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God. And he came. Open your thinking. One of the first basic primary ministers of the Holy Ghost Comforter is convict you of your sin and reveal to you the righteousness of Christ, and you have to face a judgment so sure Satan is judged. And that's when fear rises up in your heart. When you start thinking about facing God in his judgment, accounting for your sins without Christ's blood and his atoning work. The worship which Christ established was simple and pure, in contrast with the gorgeousness and corruption of the heathen worship. And I just got to take these fellows at their word. I read about all that gorgeous stuff in those days. We still have some ruins that's very impressive. Not just that, the corrupt heathen temple worship, but the splendor of the Jewish temple service. God intended that this worship, this simplicity that's in Christ, will be adapted to all people of all lands. And I've been there. When he gets ready, he'll go. They cut them big bamboos half in two and put three of them down. They built a little bench out of some of that stuff. Bamboo's plentiful there. Yeah, they burned blonde mahogany to build a fire with to cook with. That's something. And I have some good straight red, I'm going to come back to this maybe. Real pretty straight grain red oak, burned it in the heater. And the brother said, "Brother Wall, what you do burn this beautiful wood?" I said, "It's what I got." That's the reason your wife burns that blonde mahogany, is what you got. Now, they built these things, benches, out of bamboo. So you got three half pieces of bamboo, and what you sit on. Sometime you got a little arbor made up with some kind of covering, maybe. Then the Chinese come in there with those big old blue tarps, and we start buying them by the little pickup load. Boy, that's a good thing, till the wind gets in that contraption. I'm making a point. The simplicity that's in Christ, do you know? Those people can meet there and pray and sing and somebody share the word of God, preach or exhort, and God accepts that worship. That was a big aggravation in Acts chapter 15. How could these Gentiles just all of a sudden start worshiping God? Few women out on the riverbank wanting to make prayer. And God accepting that worship. It's the simplicity that's in Christ in this worship. What do you have here for kids? Praying, singing, and preaching. We lost a family. I ain't gonna tell that. Y'all got this stuff going out in the wind, hadn't you? Yeah, I will too. She was determined to start a children's church. I said, we didn't have a little nursery for the little ones till we discipline them, teach them to sit still. If there's going to be that kind of problem, we just ease them off the side. We won't do them like they did in the Old Testament. They'd march them out, stone them till they're dead. Oh, I was just making a point here about worshiping and the simplicity that's in Christ. And this worship that God has established and set up where anyone, any place, any nation, any color can just come before Him and worship. Now compare that with the splendor of those temples, of those goddesses, the many-breasted Diana, and the lavish splurging they had on that temple that was going to be torn down and one stone not left unturned when those Roman soldiers were looking for a little more treasures. He intended that it should be adapted to all lands, could be offered up by all classes of people in any location. A pure worship, claiming first the heart, and then such simple external expressions as should show forth that worship from the heart. How easily that can be corrupted. Your minds corrupted. Turn from the simplicity that's in Christ. We addressed that last night, and it's not like simple like a dog in the yard. There are many complexities in life. Do you know life's not fair? It's complicated. Cruel. The first thing I run up on when I got in the first grade was peer pressure. It's created a little altercation. And the older I got, the worse I got. I live the lie. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. It's a lie. People influence you, you get information, you make your decision. No man follows himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We need each other, and we need this worship to just come together. And sister, be confident. He has received our worship this morning. See how simple it is. I repeat myself from last night, but I don't want to. The temptations were there to attempt to corrupt it by those that had been accustomed to the magnificence of temple service. They would suppose that the religion of the Messiah could be no less gorgeous than that which was designed to shadow forth His coming. And that's the old way, the temple worship. and by those who had been accustomed to the splendid rites of the heathen worship, and who would suppose that the true religion ought not to be less costly and splendid than the false religion has been. If so much expense had been lavished on false religion, how natural to suppose that equal costliness at least should be bestowed on the true religion. Let me quote one of my verses in the introduction. Supposing gain is godliness. In Arkansas, we say it like this. Beggar's better. Except when we're talking to our wife, we don't say that. I'm supposed to get a chuckle out of that. You guys look like you at your mama's funeral. Because I was privileged to be part of that. Thank the Lord. I'm making a point, people. All this lavish splurging. And y'all got this little old basic church building. Y'all are at least 50 years out of sync with this religious rigmarole that's called worship. Some of them have gone totally the way of the world with flashing, what do you call that? Pyrotechnics. Over here. Smoke. All this fanfare. Don't clap God down. Shout him in. No. Anna, that's not worship. That's religious performance. And most of it is paid performers in their elaborate buildings. Let me close with this. Don't allow anyone or anything to corrupt your minds from the simplicity that's in Christ. Anyone or anything that we allow to come between us and Jesus Christ is an idol. Anyone or anything. And it happens. Pastor said something about young women in marriage this morning. You girls, young women, pray and seek the Lord. Stay under the authority of your daddy. I have been with young women wailing from their guts, wishing they hadn't married that sorry thing. Wishing they was back with their mom and daddy and they could start over again. So keep the standard up, girls. God's still on his throne. And he worked this thing out. And last, all of us. I'm not aiming this primarily to the unsaved. I'm aiming it at all of us. Now those adult fellas thought they had it figured out. And they was fussing and arguing about who's going to be the greatest when Christ left. Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? And he set a little child in the midst of them. Remember that? And he said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's true conversion, people. What the pastor was talking to us about this morning. We just come before him. Trust him. Like a little child. I said I was through, but I want to share a testimony. Since there's so many similarities with this church and the church at MacArthur, so many. It's amazing to me how many similarities. Of course, it's be like that a lot of places. Just a few saints wanting to worship God and come together and somebody pray and sing and make a joyful noise and somebody share the word of God. Pray and get up and try to live it among the heathen. I had lived as a young man, skilled, taught by my dad. And I made my brag. I have never been anywhere I couldn't find a job. Up to that point, I hadn't, Brother Russ. We had spending all of my retirement. I drew it out when I moved where we at, little rural church, southeast Arkansas. Bought my wife a new car for her first new car. Gave a lot of money to missions. And I'd get me a job. Supplement the $50 a week the church was offering me that I took. Do you know what? You're ahead of me, aren't you? I couldn't find a job. Had two cousins in town with old-time gas stations, service stations. Wiped the windshield, checked the oil, kicked the tire. I can do that easily. I can remove and replace any part of a vehicle, even those relays. Because used to we'd do that, and if it, that wasn't a problem, you could take it back in, but they won't take that part back now once you take it out. So anyway, I'm getting rambling. I made me up a very impressive resume. Isn't that the way you say that? And I went out to the garment factory, ladies' garment factory, and the woman in charge had been advertising they wanted men to come out there and move those boxes so those women could keep sewing. So I approached her and presented my case and gave her my resume, and she popped it open, looked at it, and she said, that's impressive. I will let you know. I'll call you. I turned around and made a step or two, and I stopped, and I said, ma'am, I really need a job. You got any idea how long it might be? And she said, no, I'll call you. When I turned around, Sister Nita, and walked out that door, I knew she would never call me. And you know what? She never called me. And I went home, laid my resume down on the foot of the bed, and I got down on my knees. And I presented my case to God. Now, I didn't pray exactly like this, but this is what I was saying in my words. Give us today our daily bread. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. That is not the way that prayer starts. It starts out in worship. Simple, childlike worship. Faith and trust. Our Father. That will be done in, on earth in me. Way, way down in that prayer comes, give us today our daily bread. And then on. That day, God whispered peace, sweet peace, to my heart. And since then, I've been able to supplement on the side with all manners of labors. From scab labor with a brick workers, one of the hardest jobs, handling concrete, pushing it around the job on in a wheelbarrow. That's hard on a big man, surely a little fella like me, but the Lord give me grace to do it. I'm testifying. I'm not rambling. I'm testifying. When we're converted and we come in to worship Him, like a little trusting child, say, Father, and present our case. Not like Job, questioning and challenging. When he got down to him, God showed up, and Job knew he was there. He put his hand over his mouth. And he said, I've spoken things too high for me. Pastor, I believe I've been faithful with what the Lord sent me. People, don't let anybody corrupt your mind. Don't let all this religious rigmarole and all this hoopla and all this successful shenanigans corrupt your mind. Thank God you got a place where you can come together. The liberty of the Spirit is there. The worship, you can worship God. You can present your prayers, sing together, and enjoy a love feast, a meal together. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Help us to always honor you, and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but to sober up and to think soberly according as you have given to every one of us the measure of faith we need to just worship you, trust you, call out on you in our need. Come before your throne of grace and to find mercy and help in time of need. We are worshiping you and thank you this morning. It's such a brief time, seemed like buzz, and it's gone. But we thank you for the time together with these precious saints. Give the brothers here wisdom as they oversee this congregation. Give Brother Russell the wisdom to pastor your people here, your flock. These are your people. You purchased them with your own blood. Give them what they need to love you and serve you in this crazy, religiously sick generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor. Anybody here without Christ, you know you're lost. You've never come to Christ. Pastor, I can be of any help to talk to you and pray with you. Be our delight, our joy.